whole starving place. Just lots and lots of curves. Lift's companions climbed up to peek over the top of the wall. A scuffling, scrambling, rowdy mess they were. Six men, supposedly master thieves. They couldn't even climb a wall properly.
The Bronze Palace itself,
Hukin breathed. Bronze? Is that what everything's made of? Lift asked, sitting on the wall with one leg over the side. Looks like a bunch of breasts. The men looked at her aghast. They were all Azish, with dark skin and hair. She was Reshi, from the islands, up north. Her mother had told her that, though Lift had never seen the place.
What?
Hukin demanded. Breasts, Lift said, pointing. See? Like a lady, laying on her back. Those points on the tops are nipples. Bloke who built this place must have been single for a long time. Hukin turned to one of his companions. Using their ropes, they scuttled back down the outside of the wall to hold a whispered conference.
Grounds at this end look empty, as my informant indicated would be the case,
Hukin said. He was in charge of the lot of them. Had a nose like someone had taken hold of it when he was a kid and pulled real, real hard. Lift was surprised he didn't smack people in the face with it when he turned.
Everyone's focused on choosing the new prime Akasix, said Maxin. We could really do this. Rob the Bronze Palace itself, and right under the nose of the Vizirat.
Is it, safe? Asked Hukin's nephew.
He was in his teens, and puberty hadn't been kind to him. Not with that face, that voice, and those spindly legs.
Hush!
Hukin snapped.
No, Tigzik said. The boy's right to express caution. This will be very dangerous.
Tigzik was considered the learned one in the group on account of his being able to cuss in three languages. Downright scholarly, that was. He wore fancy clothing, while most of the others wore black.
There will be chaos, Tigzik continued, because so many people move through the palace tonight, but there will also be danger. Many, many bodyguards, and a likelihood of suspicion on all sides.
Tigzik was an aging fellow, and was the only one at the group Lift knew well. She couldn't say his name. That kuk sound on the end of his name sounded like choking when someone pronounced it correctly. She just called him Tig instead.
Tigzik,
Hukin said. Yep, choking.
You were the one who suggested this. Don't tell me you're getting cold now. I'm not backing down. I'm pleading caution.
Lift leaned down over the wall toward them. Less arguing, she said. Let's move. I'm hungry.
Hukin looked up. Why did we bring her along? She'll be useful, Tigzik said. You'll see. She's just a child. She's a youth. She's at least 12.
I ain't 12, Lift snapped, looming over them. They turned up toward her. I ain't, she said. 12's an unlucky number. She held up her hands. I'm only this many.
10? Tigzik asked.
Is that how many that is? Sure then, 10. She lowered her hands. If I can't count it on my fingers, it's unlucky. And she'd been that many for 3 years now. So there.
Seems like there are a lot of unlucky ages, Hukin said, sounding amused.
Sure are, she agreed. She scanned the grounds again, then glanced back the way they had come, into the city. A man walked down one of the streets leading to the palace. His dark clothing blended into the gloom, but his silver buttons glinted each time he passed a streetlight. Storms, she thought, a chill running up her spine. I didn't lose him after all. She looked down at the men. Are you coming with me or not? 'Cause I'm leaving.